I congratulate you all for being here on this most blessed occasion of the appearance day of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, our beloved spiritual master and the founder acharya of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Especially after all the ecstasy of the last 5 days, I congratulate you for surviving and being here. For today's Srimad Bhagavatam class, I shall read a verse that has been striking me as very relevant to Srila Prabhupada's service. And whenever I read it, I see more in it. So it is Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 2, Chapter 4, Text 18. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Please repeat. Kirata Huna Andra Pulinda Pokasha Abira Sumba Yavana Kasha Adaya Ye Anye Cha Papa Yat Apashraya Ashraya Shudyanti Tasmai Prabhavishnave Namaha. Kiratunandra Pulinda Pokasa Abira Shumba Yavana Kashadaya Yenye Chapapa Yadapashraya Shraya Shudyanti Tasmai Prabhavishnave Nama. Kiratunandra Pulinda Pokasa Abira Shumba Yavana Kashadaya Yenye Chapapa Yadapashraya Shraya Shudyanti Tasmai Prabhavishnave Nama. Kirata, a province of old Bharata. Huna, part of Germany and Russia. Andhra, a province of southern India. Pulinda, the Greeks. Pokasha, another province. Abira, part of old Sindh. Shumba, another province. Yavana, the Turks. Kasha Adaya, The Mongolian province. Yay. Even those. Anye. Others. Cha. Also. Papa. Addicted to sinful acts. Yet. Whose. Apashaya shaya. Having taken shelter of the devotees of the Lord. Shudyanti. At once purified. Tasmai. Unto him. Prabhavishnave. Unto the powerful Vishnu. Namaha. My respectful obeisances. Translation. Kirata Huna Andhra Pulinda Pulkasha Abira Shumba Yavana. Members of the Khasa races and even others addicted to sinful acts can be purified by taking shelter of the devotees of the Lord due to His being the supreme power. I beg to offer my respectful obeisances unto Him. Please repeat. Kirata Huna Andhra Pulinda Pukasha Abira Shumba Yavana. Members of the Khasa races and even others addicted to sinful acts can be purified by taking shelter of the devotees of the Lord due to His being the supreme power. I beg to offer my respectful obeisances unto Him. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki jai. The purport begins with a discussion of the different names of different geographical places and people who are addicted to sinful acts. And to save time, I won't read all of them. Just read the last two. Yavanas. Yavana was the name of one of the sons of Maharaj Yayati, who was given the part of the world known as Turkey to rule. Therefore, the Turks are Yavanas due to being descendants of Maharaj Yavana. The Yavanas were therefore Kshatriyas, and later on, by giving up the Brahminical culture, they became Mlecha Yavanas. It was foretold that these Yavanas would conquer India, and it proved to be true. Alexander the Great. Kasha. The inhabitants of the Kasha Desh are mentioned in the Mahabharata, Drona Parva. Those who have a stunted growth of hair on the upper lip are generally called Kashas. As such, the Kasha are the Mongolians, the Chinese, and others who are so designated. The above-mentioned historical names are different nations of the world. Even those who are constantly engaged in sinful acts are all corrigible to the standard of perfect human beings if they take shelter of the devotees of the Lord. Jesus Christ and Muhammad, two powerful devotees of the Lord, have done tremendous service on behalf of the Lord on the surface of the globe. And from the version of Srila Shukadev Goswami, it appears that instead of running a godless civilization in the present context of the world situation, if the leadership of world affairs is entrusted to the devotees of the Lord, for which a worldwide organization under the name and style of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness has already been started, then by the grace of the Almighty Lord, there can be a thorough change of heart in human beings all over the world because the devotees of the Lord are able authorities to effect such a change by purifying the dust-worn minds of the people in general. The politicians of the world may remain in their respective positions because the pure devotees of the Lord are not interested in political leadership or diplomatic implications. The devotees are interested only in seeing that the people in general are not misguided by political propaganda, and in seeing that the valuable life of a human being is not spoiled in following a type of civilization that is ultimately doomed. If the politicians, therefore, would be guided by the good counsel of the devotees, then certainly there would be a great change in the world situation by the purifying propaganda of the devotees as shown by Lord Chaitanya. As Shukadev Goswami began his prayer by discussing the word yet kirtanam, so also Lord Chaitanya recommended that simply by glorifying the Lord's holy name, a tremendous change of heart can take place by which the complete misunderstanding between the human nations created by politicians can at once be extinguished. And after the extinction of the fire of misunderstanding, other prophets will follow. The destination is to go back home, back to Godhead, as we have several times discussed in these pages. So Srila Prabhupada following in the line of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, but going further than any acharya in history, was a spiritual revolutionary. He is calling for a complete revolution in consciousness, which can be most easily achieved if the leaders of the world take guidance from devotees, and in particular from the devotees of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, which really means from Srila Prabhupada, because the International Society for Krishna Consciousness means devotees who follow Srila Prabhupada, and it meant and means Srila Prabhupada himself. Now this idea of accepting people from sinful communities itself was revolutionary in India. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur accepted devotees who were not from Brahmin families and awarded them the sacred thread, which was somewhat revolutionary. The logic being that a true Vaishnav is beyond a Brahmin. Brahmins are in the mode of goodness, supposed to be in the mode of goodness. But in the material world, all the modes are always mixed. But a pure Vaishnav is above the modes of material nature and is more than a Brahmin. And Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur thought that because people may misunderstand the position of Vaishnava as not born in Brahmin families, if he awarded them the sacred thread, it would establish their position as Brahmins, as well as Vaishnavas. And even Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur faced much opposition in his preaching. And that is to be expected. Srila Prabhupada said big preaching means big enemies. If we are insignificant, no one will bother. We won't be a threat to anyone's position or sense gratification. So that is something that that we have to be prepared to face. And that is also part of our service to Guru and Krishna. Now, according to the cult of devotion, generally known as the Vaishnav cult, there is no bar against anyone's advancing in the matter of God realization. A Vaishnav is powerful enough to turn into a Vaishnav, even the Kirata, etc., as mentioned above. In the Bhagavad Gita 9.2, it is said by the Lord that there is no bar to becoming a devotee of the Lord, even for those who are low-born or women, Shudras or Vaishyas. And by becoming a devotee, everyone is eligible to return home back to Godhead. So, if there was opposition to Srila Bhaktisiddhanta's awarding the sacred thread to devotees not born in Brahmin families, you could imagine the opposition that Srila Prabhupada faced in awarding the sacred thread to people who are not even born in India. And not only did he award them Brahminical initiation, he also awarded them sannyas. And eventually authorized them to become gurus. So this was very revolutionary, and Srila Prabhupada faced a lot of reaction to his work, but he did not waver. And we should appreciate that he did it for us, so that we could be sitting here and participating fully in the activities of Krishna consciousness. If he hadn't faced that opposition and insisted on our right to be devotees, we wouldn't be here. We wouldn't be able to, we wouldn't even really be allowed in the temple. What to speak of allowed on the altar to perform the worship. So he did so much for us. And what do we have to do? Srila Prabhupada continues, the only qualification is that one takes shelter of a pure devotee of the Lord who has thorough knowledge in the transcendental science of Krishna, Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. The Sanskrit is very beautiful, apashrayashraya. To take shelter of the devotees of the Lord means to take shelter of those who have taken shelter of the Lord. Not to try to take shelter of the Lord directly, but to take shelter of those who have taken shelter of the Lord through their spiritual masters, parampara. Anyone from any part of the world who becomes well conversant in the science of Krishna becomes a pure devotee and a spiritual master for the general mass of people, and may reclaim them by purification of heart. So Srila Prabhupada, as far back as 1969, he was dictating these purports in 1969. And in late 1969 and early 1970, these chapters, the first five chapters of the second canto, were brought out one at a time by the ISKCON Press in Boston. So as far back as then, Srila Prabhupada was foreseeing that devotees from all parts of the world who took shelter of him, of a pure devotee, and learned the science of Krishna, would themselves become pure devotees and carry on the work of reclaiming fallen souls in all parts of the world. But Prabhupada saw that from the very beginning, And on the basis of scripture, he's justifying his vision and his actions. And that's also for us. Because if we had to defend ourselves from these opposing arguments, we would have a hard time. But Srila Prabhupada did that for us, and we can just repeat what he said, which is our process in any case. And be convinced ourselves. So, anyone from any part of the world who becomes well conversant in the science of Krishna becomes a pure devotee and a spiritual master for the general mass of people and may reclaim them by purification of heart. And what is that method of purification? Yat Kirtanam. This is a series of prayers by Shukadeva Goswami to the Supreme Lord that he recited before speaking Srimad Bhagavatam, or this portion of Srimad Bhagavatam, and he begins Yat Kirtanam. Though a person be even the most sinful man, he can at once be purified by systematic contact with a pure devotee, Vaishnav. A Vaishnav, therefore, can accept a bona fide disciple. Now, what is a bona fide disciple? Srila Prabhupada says systematic contact with a pure Vaishnav. So the beginning is Shraddha, faith and attraction, Ado Shraddha. Then Sadhu Sangha. Sadhu Sangha means regular association with devotees. Then Bhajana Kriya, following the rules and regulations of Bhakti Yoga. And generally Prabhupada puts taking initiation at that stage of Bhajana Kriya. A Vaishnav, therefore, can accept a bona fide disciple from any part of the world without any consideration of caste and creed and promote him by regulative principles to the status of a pure Vaishnav who is transcendental to Brahminical culture. The system of caste or varnashram dharma is no longer regular even amongst the so-called followers of the system, nor is it now possible to re-establish the institutional function in the present context of social, political, and economic revolution. Without any reference to the particular custom of a country, one can be accepted to the Vaishnav cult spiritually, and there is no hindrance in the transcendental process. So by the order of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the cult of Srimad Bhagavatam or the Bhagavad Gita can be preached all over the world, reclaiming all persons willing to accept the transcendental cult. Such cultural propaganda by the devotees will certainly be accepted by all persons who are reasonable and inquisitive, without any particular bias for the custom of the country. A Vaishnav never accepts another Vaishnav on the basis of birthright, just as he never thinks of the deity of the Lord in a temple as an idol. And to remove all doubts in this connection, Srila Sukadeva Goswami has invoked the blessings of the Lord who is all-powerful. Prabhavishnave Namaha. The conclusion is that the Lord, being all-powerful, can, under any and every circumstance, accept anyone from any part of the world, either personally or through his bona fide manifestation as the spiritual master. Lord Chaitanya accepted many devotees from communities other than the Varna Ashramites. Who's an example? Yes. Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur. And he himself declared to teach us that he does not belong to any caste or social order of life, but that he is the eternal servant of the Lord who maintains the damsels of Vrindavan, Lord Krishna. That is the way of self-realization. So, I will say much more on this topic, but this verse and purport in a way run parallel to some other verses in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, which I would like to read and then speak. These verses describe the Chaitanya tree, which is a metaphor. The Chaitanya tree is Lord Chaitanya himself, and there are certain important limbs of the tree. Of course, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the main one, and Nityananda Prabhu, and Advaita Acharya, and Gadadhar Pandit, these are the prominent limbs of the tree. And then there are different branches coming up from the different limbs. And Srila Prabhupada comments that the International Society for Krishna Consciousness is also a branch of the Chaitanya tree. That means, yeah, Srila Prabhupada and his followers. Now, these verses that I'm going to read will remind you of Srila Prabhupada. This is Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita Adi Lila, Chapter 10. The Branches of the Chaitanya Tree, Text 84. Anupama Vallabha Sri Rupa Sanatana Etina Shaka Rikshera Paschime Sarvotama. On the western side were the 43rd, 44th, and 45th branches, Sri Sanatan, Sri Rupa, and Anupam. They were the best of all. So you might recognize this word paschime on the western side, because we honor Srila Prabhupada paschatya deshatarine for delivering people in the western countries. And it's described that these branches, sarvotama, were the best of all. One could say that they were the best of all because they delivered people in the Western countries. Or one could say that because they were the best of all, they were able to deliver people in the Western countries. which is not easy. Text 86. Malira ichaya saka bahuta badila badia paschima desha saba achadila. By the will of the Supreme Gardener, that's Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself. He's the tree and he's also the gardener who tends the tree. The branches of Srila Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami grew many times over, expanding throughout the western countries, Paschima Desha, and covering the entire region. This is exactly what Srila Prabhupada did. He expanded the Krishna consciousness movement throughout the Western countries, and it just covered the entire region, practically everywhere. Extending to the borders of the river Sindhu and the Himalayan mountain valleys, these two branches expanded throughout India, including all the places of pilgrimage, such as Vrindavan and Mathura and Haridwar. The fruits of love of Godhead which fructified on these two branches were distributed in abundance. Tasting these fruits, everyone became mad after them. Well, yes, devotees did become mad after them, and therefore they madly went all over the world and preached, even adopting very unusual tactics. Text 89. Paschimera loka sabha mada anachara tahan pracharila donhe bhakti sadachara. The people in general on the western side of India were neither intelligent nor very well behaved. But by the influence of Srila Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami, they were trained in devotional service and good behavior. So this is a fairly appropriate description of people in the West. Anachar means, well, sadachar means well-behaved, so anachar means the opposite. Say, poorly behaved. And not intelligence. The word here is mudha, which means foolish, but being considerate as he was, Srila Prabhupada just said, not intelligent. And coming back, yeah, so this was the challenge that Rupa and Sanatana faced. That was certainly the challenge that Srila Prabhupada faced. And as we read earlier, the only qualification is to take shelter of a devotee of the Lord. And this point was made very vividly in Bombay when His Holiness Tamal Krishna Goswami went for a surgical operation at Jaslok Hospital for a hernia that he had. Actually, Srila Prabhupada wanted to stop the operation Because he didn't have faith in the treatment that was available in India at the time. And he thought that Tamal Krishna Goswami should have the procedure done in America. And because we didn't have a telephone, there was no way to get through to him, to Tamal Krishna Goswami. And so Srila Prabhupada personally got in our vehicle. It was a Jeep with a canvas cabin, and drove all the way, quite a distance, from Juhu to the hospital to try to stop the surgery. But when he arrived, it was too late. The surgery had been performed, and Tamal Krishna Goswami was being wheeled out of the recovery area, and he was just coming out of the effects of the anesthesia, and he had just had a dream about Srila Prabhupada. He opened his eyes and he saw Srila Prabhupada was there, and he related the dream to him. And in the dream, Srila Prabhupada was giving a report to the previous acharyas about the work on the planet Earth. So Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, Srila Gaurakishore Das Babaji Maharaj, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Srila Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj, those at least were there. And Srila Prabhupada was telling them in the dream that the people on earth now have no good qualities. They have no background in pious activities. They are awfully engaged in sinful activities. They're not very intelligent. And overall, they have no qualification for Krishna consciousness. And then Srila Prabhupada told them, but they do have one qualification, which is that they have full faith in me. And they will do whatever I tell them. And because of that one qualification, they're able to progress. So that is really all we have. Srila Prabhupada's instructions and our faith in those instructions and our willingness to try our best to execute them. We may not be able to execute them perfectly. We know that we can't, or we don't, or we can't. And Srila Prabhupada went so far as to say that your qualification is that I give you an instruction and you try to follow it. Not even I give you an instruction and you follow it, but you try to follow it. So we should just hold on to Srila Prabhupada's lotus feet for dear life. Actually, if we let go of his lotus feet, our lifeline to Krishna will become disconnected. It will be lost, which would be death, spiritual death. And if anyone dares to criticize Srila Prabhupada, and people do, even during Srila Prabhupada's time they did, if we're able to, we should refute their arguments. And if we're unable to, then, you know, as politely and tactfully as possible, avoid that association, because that will cut at our lifeline. That will cut at the very foundation of our standing in spiritual life. That's on the one side. And on the other side, we should keep company with devotees who have full faith in Srila Prabhupada and are fully engaged in his service, following his instructions in terms of the practice of Krishna consciousness. And also the important, in a way most important instruction, to spread Krishna consciousness. And especially through Yad Kirtanam, Harinam Sankirtan, and in general, speaking the glories of the Lord, book distribution, distributing the books and reading the books and repeating what's in the books. And that will purify our hearts. Cheto Darpana Marjanam. We have to purify our hearts. We can't just remain. Of course, we won't remain as we were if we follow the process. But we have to purify our hearts, clean up all that dirt. And and then with a joyful heart, engage in the practices of Krishna consciousness and the effort to preach Krishna consciousness. And then we will be very happy that Srila Prabhupada wanted us to be happy. He wanted us to chant and be happy. Sometimes we might take it as a slogan and not really think about it. Once, many years ago, I said to a devotee something like, chant Hare Krishna and be happy. And the devotee replied, that is a very difficult instruction, because it's not that easy to be happy. You can only be happy if you're free from bodily identification and association. As long as you identify with the body, you're caught in the duality of the material world. Pain and pleasure, happiness and distress, friends and enemies, it just goes on and on and on. That's not happiness. So in this very simple instruction, chant and be happy, there is deep significance. With a deep significance, it really means to do it properly, and but it's actually easy to do it properly. Just chant and don't commit offenses. That's really the main thing that holds us back, because we chant, but then if we commit offenses, our hearts don't really get purified. And especially the worst offense, Vaishnava aparad, sadhu ninda, blaspheming devotees, offending devotees. So if we can avoid that and chant, then we can chant and be happy. And we can make others happy by our association. And the best way to avoid criticizing devotees is to appreciate them. We're around them all the time, so we're going to be talking about them. So we should glorify them. We should appreciate their service, however big or small, and glorify them. And that will also purify our hearts and enable the process of chanting and hearing about Krishna to act with full force. So on this most blessed occasion, we rededicate ourselves to following Srila Prabhupada and his instructions. All the mercy of the parampara, all the mercy of the panchatattva are coming to us through Srila Prabhupada. All the knowledge of the panchatattva, of the parampara, is coming to us through Srila Prabhupada. We are not lacking in anything. We just have to embrace these gifts that Srila Prabhupada has given us, and follow him and serve him with heart and soul. And he will reveal to us more and more gifts that we cannot even imagine. I mean, we may have some theoretical ideas from the books, but if we really dedicate ourselves heart and soul to Srila Prabhupada and his instructions in the process of bhakti yoga, he will reveal more and more gifts that are like precious jewels in the dust of his lotus feet. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. So soon we will be having the Abhishek, which is also very blissful and purifying service to Srila Prabhupada. Yes, 5 minutes? We have 5 minutes. Would anyone like to say anything? Ask any? Yes, sir. What is your good name? Sachidulal Das. Beautiful name.
My question is that you're saying that we should glorify, as I heard it, that we should give acknowledgement to other devotees and praise them for their service. But I'm also thinking that, I believe I heard that Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati said, he who praises me is my greatest enemy, because he's setting the example that the false ego is such that we sometimes become puffed up. We think that we're the doer and like that. So how does one avoid that? That's my question. How does one avoid being puffed up and staying humble, because it seems that the humble position is the best position to be in to make advancement.
Yeah, definitely we should be humble. I mean, humility is the basis of spiritual advancement. Well, once His Holiness Bhakti Vigyan Goswami Maharaj, a very wonderful devotee in Russia, asked the same question to His Holiness Radhanath Swami, that people, you know, I'm traveling, I'm preaching, I'm organizing, and people are praising me all the time. And how can I deal with it without becoming proud? And Radhanath Swami replied, just don't take it seriously. It's like if someone criticizes you, your friend, oh, don't take it seriously. It's not you, it's the other person. Don't take it seriously. So same thing with praise, just don't take it seriously. Understand it's meant for Prabhupada, it's for Krishna, it's not about me. And let it all go.
Thank
you. Hare Krishna. Yes?
What did Srila Prabhupada say after Tamal Krishna Maharaj told his dream?
Yes, very important question. After Srila Prabhupada heard Tamal Krishna Goswami's dream, he smiled and said, yes, it is so. Hare Krishna. Yes, Ajamil Prabhu.
In our different country, they explain that they are very sinful. So that means another sense to say that those countries not been mentioned in Bhagavatam, they are all pious.
Sorry? No, no. No, this is not a complete list. because it says, ye anya papa, that even others addicted to sinful acts. So okay. Don't think that if you're not on the list that you're above the others. You come in the last category, others addicted to sinful acts.
Okay, because I thought that, okay, alright, so that means not mention North America, not mention India, you know, all the southern part is there.
So there were, no, not just southern. Western Sindh is mentioned. In fact, I didn't get to read the details of all the different places, but there's one, Chota Nagpur, there's places in Bihar that are mentioned in the list. There's some part of Maharashtra that's mentioned in the list. Yeah.
Okay.
But we're none of those.
So. Okay.
Pure spirit soul.
Thank you very much.
Yes, Bhrigupati Prabhu.
Thank you, Maharaj. Very nice class. When you were reading the purport, at one point it was saying how that one is to take shelter of one who is taking shelter of Krishna. So my question is this. At the end of the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, always think of me, become my devotee, worship me, offer obeisances to me. So is thinking of somebody who is taking shelter of Krishna as good as thinking of Krishna?
Yes, because if you think of them in relation to Krishna, yes. Because Krishna is never alone. He's always with his associates.
So is praying to Prabhupada, say, for instance, specifically in this case, is that as good as praying to Krishna?
Better.
Better. Okay.
As Krishna says, that one who is my one who claims to be my devotee is not actually my devotee, but one who's the devotee of my devotee, he's actually my devotee. So that was the final line of the purport to the verse in the Bhagavatam. Gopi Bhartu Padakamalayor Dasa Dasa Anudasa. Our position is to be the servant of the servant of the servant of Krishna. That's our actual position. So everything, the knowledge comes down through parampara, and the service and prayers are offered up through parampara.
Thank you, Maharaj, for a beautiful explanation. In regards to the last comment that you just made to his question, some people might think that in Prabhupada will stop right there at the mercy, and you don't need anything else. Someone might say that. So my question is, what is that verse that one who is not my devotee, but a devotee of my devotee of my devotee, it's also applicable to Prabhupada's devotees like that?
Yeah.
And then someone might argue and say, well, not just with him is enough, because he has all the qualities that nobody else can have so far at the present time, maybe. Can you explain something about that?
Yes, very good point. he's making the point, you know, the principle is one who claims to be Krishna's devotee is not actually Krishna's devotee, but one who's the devotee of Krishna's devotee, he's a devotee. So he's raising the question whether the same principle applies to Srila Prabhupada, that to be a true devotee of Srila Prabhupada also means to be a devotee of his devotees. I would say yes, because Srila Prabhupada himself said so. In many places, but one very striking statement was in relation to the prayer Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Yuta Padakamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavangscha. So Srila Prabhupada explained that we're offering respects to the Guru and to the line of Gurus in Parampara, but he said the Guru is also accompanied by his associates who are Vaishnavas, and so we offer respect to the Guru and also to the Vaishnavas who are with the Guru. And there are many other examples of statements that Srila Prabhupada said. Like he gave the example of the king, that the king is not alone. He has his associates, and that by serving the associates of the king, you can please the king more or better than by serving the king directly. And that was specifically in relation to him and his disciples. So it doesn't mean that we neglect Srila Prabhupada, but serving Srila Prabhupada's devotees is serving Srila Prabhupada. Yeah, that's true. And learning from them that Prabhu, that you are my Prabhu, my Lord and Master. I want to serve you and learn from you. That's how we should see other devotees of Srila Prabhupada. And that way we can please him more and understand him better. These devotees have so many realizations from their service to Srila Prabhupada. I mean, Tamal Krishna Goswami once gave his own example to me that, I think he speaks for all of us, that, you know, he had three initiations from Srila Prabhupada and so much personal association with Srila Prabhupada and so much personal instruction from him. But even then he felt that that was not enough, that he also needed the guidance of Shiksha Gurus. And he named a number of his god brothers whom he considered to be his Shiksha Gurus.